Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I'm Matt Maiocco, and this is the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area. The 49ers had a fascinating draft on so many different levels. It was one thing to follow along and cover it from my perspective as a 49ers beat reporter. But for me, the draft did not reach its conclusion Saturday evening when I packed up and drove home from Santa Clara. The true end of the draft came Monday morning when I read the MMQB with Peter King. Peter King was inside the 49ers draft room, and he filed an amazing behind-the-scenes piece entitled, Ready to be a 49er? Inside the 49ers draft room. And now, I'm so excited to be joined by Peter King to talk about observing what happened during the first draft of general manager John Lynch and coach Kyle Shanahan. Just a fascinating look. And Peter, thank you so much for joining me on the 49ers Insider Podcast.
Hey, no problem. Happy to do it, Matt. Love the work you do.
Well, I know you've mentioned this is the 11th time that you've been in a team's draft room. What was your pitch when you approached the 49ers about gaining this kind of access?
I saw John Lynch. I had done John Lynch on my podcast at the Super Bowl. He came up to my room in the Hilton Hotel in Houston, and he did about a half hour. And you know how Lynch is. He's really, really good, obviously. And so, you know, he really talked with pride, both on and off the microphone, about 49er history and how basically, you know, he was almost Trumpy and he wanted to make the 49ers great again. And he was very persuasive. And so I had an idea because I always, toward the end of the year, start to think, boy, in many years, Matt, it doesn't work. You know, I've been doing this for 33 years, and only 11 times have I been in somebody's draft room. So it certainly doesn't work every year. But last year it worked well in Dallas, and I thought of this idea that I really wanted to try to do John Lynch's first draft and Kyle Shanahan's first draft and, you know, maybe rebuilding the 49ers. And so I went to talk to Lynch at the league meetings in Phoenix, and I said, John, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in 1979, the 49ers were coming off a 2-14 season. They had a new coach, new GM, no quarterback of the future, and a 30-something owner. In 2017, the 49ers are coming off a 2-14 season. They got a new coach, a new GM, no quarterback of the future, and a 30-something owner. And I want to come and chronicle what you guys do, your first shot out of the box. And he said, Peter, I've got goosebumps. And so I knew that he would want to do it, and then I sort of made a proposal to Bob Lang, obviously the PR guy, and you know, who shared it with Kyle Shanahan and Jed York, and they agreed to do it.
And, you know, when you do something like this, there has to be a lot of trust on both sides. You know, not just the 49ers trusting you, but also you trusting that they're going to be real and honest. And you know, were there any ground rules that you guys set up for what could and could not be reported?
Really, the only thing that they – I said the same. Look, last year, what I told the 49ers is that last year, when I did this in Dallas, I told Jerry Jones that basically, hey, you've got three off the records, you know, so whatever, you know, just tell me what you don't want. And it was amazing. Jerry Jones never one time said that's off the record, never. And so, you know, I think people underestimate or people don't really understand, like, what goes on in and around a draft room. Like, for instance, you know, nobody in Dallas sits around the draft room and says, let's get a quarterback. Tony Romo's a pane of glass. I mean, it just that doesn't happen. It's kind of unprofessional. And even though – and so I told Lynch and I told Kyle Shanahan, look, if you guys say something in here that you really feel bad about and you don't want me to write about, I'll certainly do it, but you can't do a lot of that. And I said, last year I had three off the records with Dallas, and that's all I never used them. But anyway, the only thing that they wanted me to do is to not, if somebody in the draft room slipped and said, holy crap, Vance McDonald stinks, we got to get rid of him, that I wasn't going to use that. And I said, I'm amenable to that. First of all, I've never heard some team trash one of its players. And even this year, when they were talking about, there was all this talk about Vance McDonald getting traded, you know, on draft weekend, there was never heard a discouraging word about him. And so there was a college player or two who somebody said something, you know, bad about, and so they just looked at me like, you know, just, we don't want to trash other players. And so I didn't. But I'd say, especially with one college player specifically, that came into play, but not with anything else the entire weekend.
Well, the two central figures in that 49ers draft room were in their positions for the very first time, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Just what were your impressions? How did they work together? You know, were there any arguments or anything between those two? Or how when you take a step back, what do you think about that pairing of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan?
Here's the interesting thing, Matt. Somebody asked me yesterday, and I didn't know the answer. They said, well, who's got final say in the draft room? And I said, I think it's Lynch, but I couldn't tell. And I don't mean to be naive about that, but it never came to that. But I'll tell you one of the things that, as you know, Matt, and as probably most people who root for the Niners know, Kyle Shanahan has a much different personality than John Lynch. John Lynch is a welcome wagon host, and Kyle Shanahan, you know, can be realistic / negative often. He's kind of a sardonic, you know, at times sour guy. That, at least that's how he appears. But he's a flatline. You know, he's just not a real kind of enthusiastic, hey, everything is wonderful guy, whereas Lynch is. So I didn't really know how that was going to go, but here's a perfect example of how it went. And I wrote about this some, and I'll tell you a little bit more about this. The end of the second day on Friday, they're happy because they got C.J. Beathard, even though I thought it was kind of a superfluous trade. I don't think it mattered at all. They were going to get C.J. Beathard at 109, and they got him at 104. And I think everybody in the room thought that was very likely. But as Jed York said, it just allows us to sleep a little better because he's the only guy really left on the quarterback board who we wanted. So and in fact, I would say he's really the only guy who they wanted. And people should not confuse that with anybody thinking that they drafted their quarterback of the future. I mean, it'd probably be an upset if C.J. Beathard were their quarterback of the future. But, you know, we'll see. That's, I'm sure, what everybody said with another low third-round quarterback 28 years ago, or whatever it was, 38 years ago, in Joe Montana. But anyway, the point I was going to make is at the end of the night, everybody's closing up shop, and Kyle Shanahan is standing there staring at the draft board. And as I wrote, he kind of looked like John Nash in A Beautiful Mind, just kind of totally lost in thought, staring at the board, almost to the point where I didn't want to bother him. But I went up to him, and I said to him, what are you looking for tomorrow? and basically, what are you looking for now? And he goes, Joe Williams, running back, Utah. And I looked over at the stack of running backs. Matt, there was no Joe Williams on the board. I didn't know who Joe Williams was. I'm not a real draft Nick, and I don't watch a lot of college football. So I didn't know who this guy was. And I said, well, who's that? And he goes, well, and I said, and why isn't he on your draft board? And he goes, well, Joe Williams had a little trouble in college, quit the team at Utah. And as I found out later, not only did he quit the team at Utah, but he started his college career at UConn and got kicked off the team for stealing a teammate's credit card and charging stuff on it. So, you know, as Adam Peters, the vice president of player personnel, said later when I talked to him about this, you know, you steal a teammate's credit card and you quit the team in midseason, that's terminal. That's just terminal. And so, obviously, Shanahan knew that he wanted this guy, Joe Williams. And Bobby Turner, the running backs coach, had done a boatload of research. And, you know, basically, he had come up with this guy. And about 2 weeks previous, he had started showing some tape to Shanahan. He was off their draft board. And Shanahan liked him. And the more he watched him, the more he kind of fell in love with him. And so here he was the night before the fourth round. You know, you don't really think about a guy like Joe Williams until at least the third day because of his incredibly sketchy, story in college. But I think what happened was it was that night, and I sat back in Lynch's office with Shanahan, and we talked, and one of the subjects was Joe Williams. And Shanahan flat out told me, if we do not get him tomorrow, I will be sick. And so that night, I could tell Lynch was, this was close to midnight, Friday night. Lynch was absolutely fatigued. He had to sleep. And so he went back to his hotel. Shanahan went home. And then they came in the next day. And Lynch still was tired because he thought about Joe Williams. Now, Matt, I hate to first of all, tell me, am I boring you with this story?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. So there's just one other factor. I wrote about this 49er, this laminated sheet that Lynch had in the draft room, sort of this 49er ethos sheet, okay, that everybody was sort of saying, okay, here's the 49er way. Here's what we're going to do here from now on and all that. And it was about drafting principled guys and, you know, clean guys and, you know, great teammates and all of this other stuff. And I wrote about this in my piece at the MMQB. So I'm thinking to myself, well, geez, you take Reuben Foster, who's got a diluted sample. He's down on a bunch of people's draft boards because of his shoulder. So there's one guy, with both health and character, whatever you'd call it, off field concerns. And now you'd pick this guy. So basically what happened is Lynch couldn't sleep, and he comes in early and he calls Joe Williams. And, you know, he spends a half hour on the phone basically saying at the beginning of the conversation, look, you're not on my draft board. But our head coach is interested in you. And I really, before I make a decision, I wanted to talk to you. And this guy downloaded his entire life to John Lynch. And he told John Lynch, in essence, that basically this all stems from when he was 13 years old in 2007, I think it was, 13 years old. He goes to bed one night. His sister is seriously ill with heart disease. And And so she's home, but she probably belongs in the hospital. And that night, she basically died. He fell asleep, and she died, right, not with her in his arms, but he was in her room, and he could never get past this. He became embittered, angry, and everything, and he just was not a great person, and he didn't start to see the end of this, didn't start to see the end of this story until he quit the team at Utah last September, and he decided to go into psychotherapy. And he goes a couple of days a week up in Utah, and finally they said, the reason that you're all messed up is because you have buried this guilt that you feel about your sister. And so he just, like he said, almost immediately when I started accepting that, I felt better about myself and blah, blah, blah. He said, I can talk about it now. I need to talk about it now. I tell everybody, don't bury your emotions and all that. And he said, I don't know whether this is right or wrong, but I've always felt that there's something causing me to do these knucklehead stupid things. I ended up calling Williams after you guys had him on the conference call in the fourth round, because I knew that he had basically bared his soul to some people with the 49ers, and so he bared his soul to me, too. He told me the whole story and all that. So the bottom line is, and I tell you this story only for this reason, Matt, that in my opinion, I think it shows that you have a general manager and a head coach. If the head coach says to the GM, of all the players available to draft on day three, if you get me this one, you do whatever you want the rest of the time, but I want this one. And so I think John Lynch swallowed hard. He talked to the guy. He got into a better place with him. And as he said to me, he said, screw it. I decided if we want him that much, let's move up and get him. And that, to me, John Lynch could have said to Shanahan, Kyle, if you want to go over my head and go to Jed York and demand we take this guy, okay, go ahead and do it. But I don't want this guy. He didn't do that. He said, I'm going to be open-minded about this. I'm going to give this guy a chance, and let's take him. So I think their marriage is off to a pretty good start. That's the point of my story. I probably could have told it in 90 seconds instead of 9 minutes, but anyway,
well,
there you go.
I appreciate you telling the story. You kind of referred to this as a room of equals, and you mentioned Jed York, a guy who's, you know, not exactly the most popular guy with 49er fans over because of what's transpired the last couple of years. How did he act in the room, and what do you think about his role in pairing these two men together?
It was kind of funny. I didn't write about this, not for any reason, but just, you know, shoot, I wrote 5,100 words. I could have written 15,000. But at one point on Thursday, his son Jackson is in and out of the room, and he's being a good, very good boy. He's whatever, four and a half years old, whatever he is. And he's being very good, not being noisy, not being anything. And you could tell Jed was a little bit, I met with him the next day, he was a little bit self-conscious, and I said, hey, it's great. It's a game. You know, I mean, if he's there standing on the table and doing some stupid things and being a distraction, we'll get him out of there. But he was just a good boy being in there, doing some coloring, watching everything. And I thought that it was really cool that the kid was in there. Not that he knew what was going on, but that the kid was in there. It sort of reminded me, and I don't have any idea what anybody else thought of it, that, you know, this team is run by a family, in essence. It's run by the York family. At times, it's been a dysfunctional family, but the team's run by the York family, and this is the family. So everybody, here they are. Good. And I noticed during the course of the thing, he never once said, hey, let's do this. He made a few suggestions during the night, like maybe we can try this with the Seahawks, and I don't even remember what they were. But in other words, he was there strictly in a support role. He was not there in any way, hey, do this. I want you to do this. It was never like that. And I was interested to see that because I had no idea what he would be like in that room. But he was very much in a support role without really having, having any sort of hammer about the decision-making process.
There's another guy in the organization, really a lot of mystery surrounding him. He's been with the organization for 17 years, Parag Marathe. He's now the chief strategy officer and executive vice president of football operations. At one point in your article and your report, John Lynch said, "I love him. He's quick and he's smart." As you were a fly on the wall through this draft, what did you think about Parag Marathe and what his role is in helping facilitate those trades, the six trades that occurred during the weekend?
I'm just writing right now, Matt, as you called me. I'm writing right now a column about some takeaways from the weekend other than what I've written about. And I write a little bit about Adam Peters, and I write a little bit about Parag, okay? And this, I don't want this to sound too dramatic, okay? But this is just my opinion. I think there's a decent chance, not an overwhelming chance. I think there's a decent chance that without Parag really prodding, goading, continually calling John Schneider, that the Niners would not have obtained the 31st pick in the draft. And in fact, would not have gotten Reuben Foster, seeing that obviously Sean Payton was on the phone with Foster to tell him essentially, if we get through this 31st pick unscathed, you're our pick at 32. So, and I can tell you this, that, Parag has what I would call an almost encyclopedic knowledge of this draft trade chart. So he would say, like, just very, very quick, Shanahan would say, "Parag, what do we have to trade right now to get up to pick X?" And he would say, "That'll be our second seven, or that'll be our six, that'll be our low five." What? And I'm making that up. I don't know what they had. But my point was that he's just extremely fast, and almost to the point where when we were at the end of this, okay, I had to go back and ask him. You got to translate the following. Okay, I wrote this down. I don't know exactly what it means. You got to translate exactly what happened, which he did. And so, Matt, there was 19 seconds left on the clock with the 31st pick when the 49ers turned in the card with Reuben Foster's name on it. So 19 seconds, and all I'm saying is that I'm not saying it would not have gotten done, but if they're 19 seconds late, I guarantee you the Saints would have been up at the table to turn in the card of Reuben Foster. So the next time everybody comes crashing down on Parag Marathe and basically says, "Get this bum out of here," just remember that. And just remember that, look, honestly, I'm Switzerland. I could care less. I'm a total neutral party. All I know is that from what I've heard, that Parag is one of these guys that everybody's down on. But essentially, I found a guy and I saw a guy who I think is pretty invaluable. And you could tell. You know who was in the room? Here's who's in the room 20 minutes before the draft when they're trying to get their last best deal done with the Bears, and when they're trying to find out if there are going to be any other suitors for the number two pick. Who's in the room? John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, and Parag. That's it. And so, I mean, that should be tell you what you need to know about the importance of this guy. And again, because I had heard everything, that he'd been sort of neutered by Harbaugh later in that era, and then he just was sort of a cap guy last year with Chip Kelly. So, but I'm just telling you, this guy is valuable, and he's significant, especially in the way, again, this is just a couple of days here. This is one draft, but you can just tell. You can tell how people talk to him. You can tell that they value him quite highly.
And, I mean, he's the guy making the phone calls, as you mentioned, to John Schneider. Is it Does it surprise you that two teams, two division opponents, and not too long ago, two fierce rivals, would be so amenable toward doing business with each other?
You know what surprised me a little bit? John Schneider was getting browbeaten by Parag for 90 minutes trying to make trades. Okay, they had to have talked 8 times. And finally, and Lynch talked to him too, and to Schneider. And finally the deal gets done. I'm just going to tell you how I would feel about this if I were Schneider. Holy crap. They really want somebody desperately. I don't know who it is, but they want somebody desperately. Maybe we shouldn't make a trade, even if it's going to get me an extra 4. Maybe we shouldn't make this trade because I don't want to give them this guy who they desperately want. And, you know, that's, I have to say, that's what I thought of. And I wonder right now if John Schneider thinks that. You know, if John Schneider thinks, hey, if I didn't have the 111th pick, they wouldn't have Reuben Foster right now. And maybe John's doc, maybe their doctors in Seattle are saying, who cares? Reuben Foster is going to blow out his shoulder in his rookie year, and he's going to be damaged good. So let him take Reuben Foster. I don't know. Because, Matt, a lot of people in the league had very scant interest in Reuben Foster because they felt that his shoulder was going to be damaged again.
And I love the anecdote about Jeff Ferguson. Fergie, the VP of Medical Services, head athletic trainer, when John Lynch yells, you know, are we concerned about the shoulder? What shoulder? That's a great, yeah, great anecdote from a very colorful guy.
Well, that was at the time when that's as happy a scene as I've ever seen in a draft room. I mean, really, there was glee from end to end in that room. I have one regret about this weekend, and that is that I didn't put my phone on video, not to put it out or anything like that, but just so that I could see and document precisely who hugged who and who said what, because it was just mayhem in there for about 45 seconds.
That's funny. And I'm just kind of curious, have you heard from John Schneider after the revelation that you know, this trade was put on hold by his potty break?
No, I haven't. But knowing John the way I do, I'm sure he'll chortle. John is not one to take very much, you know, like that very seriously. So I think he'll get a good laugh out of it.
Yeah, no, those are some of the aspects of this article, this report that really brought it all together. So I'm kind of curious.
You know what? I'll say this, Matt. You know, what makes a story like this special, quite honestly, at least to me, it's one thing, in my opinion, just as a somebody who's been doing this for a long time, you love to find out the real inside information on things like trades and everything. But the other thing is finding out just little asides about people and little droll senses of humor. You know, to hear Lynch say, hey, ask him how his pee was, and for Shanahan to say long one. I mean, that's perfect Shanahan. It tells you everything you need to know. He doesn't say much, but he says a little pointed thing. For Shanahan to, here we are 20 minutes before the draft, to look at Lynch and say, hey, got a Keurig in here? I need some coffee. Mm-hmm. And you know, you just, those are the kind of things that in a story like that, in my opinion, kind of make it more than a football story and make it sort of also a people story, because you get to know a little bit about these people as guys. You know, you get to know that, you know, that, hey, John Lynch is just like the rest of us. If he's got a big, big day ahead of him, he likes to go for a run. When he did, he ran from his hotel down that St. Thomas Aquino Trail, whatever it's called, over to the stadium, and to clear his head. He needed to take a mental break in the middle of all this mayhem. And so those are the kind of things that I think really make people and make you understand that, okay, good, we love knowing about the details, but we also love knowing the fact that whatever whatever happens, these guys, you know, react to things a little bit just like you and I would.
Yeah, you might have already mentioned this, but this is, as I mentioned at the beginning, this was your 11th draft, being in a draft room. Years from now, what do you think your most lasting memory of this weekend will be?
Kyle Shanahan at the draft board, mesmerized by the draft board, and talking about a guy who's not even on it. And that, to me, and then the next 12 hours.
Right. The waiting game.
You know, exhausted people, totally exhausted people, coming back and still being tired, but coming back because if they were going to take Joe Williams and put their nuts on the line for this guy, they better be sure that this is a decision they all desperately wanted to make.
Peter, this piece was great, and the MMQB as a whole, with the incredible team that you've assembled, there's just nothing like it at all when it comes to coverage of the NFL. And I want to thank you for being so kind and welcoming me to the Hall of Fame Selection Committee when we got together in Houston for the Super Bowl. And thank you so much for joining me on the 49ers Insider Podcast.
Hey, you're welcome, Matt. Good luck with it. Had a great time talking about it. Thank you.
I'm Matt Maiocco, and this has been the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area. You can listen to it on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.